Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. I remember an awkward person. Hair not quite right. An attempt at a ponytail that ended up over on the side. Makeup not put on in the way it was expected. And I remember that person not being treated wholly. Made fun of, teased for their awkwardness. And if you were to go a little deeper into the story, you might find that that person was not able to gather themselves together because no one had showed them how. They'd been sort of cast out by those that were to love them, and the punishment continued in the place where they went. You see, that person committed sin that they didn't know they were committing. Sin was being awkward. The sin was being different. The sin was being not quite together. And in that particular community, that person was cast out. Was cast out. Until someone figured out what was going on and they took the time. Not quite like this, but like this. Try this instead of this. Adjust this instead of this. Find the people that you enjoy instead of pleasing those that you never will. And the next year, that person walks in and doesn't look the same. And they're accepted. And they make it. And they're honored. And they're treated well. And people hardly could believe the difference. The lepers in the story today are those that are cast out. In Jesus' time, we might read this lesson and we think, oh, they're sick and he makes them well. And that's part of the story. But really, the part of the story that we might miss, because we don't think this way anymore, is that they're cast out because the people at the time would have said, because of their sin, they have leprosy and therefore cannot be part of our community. Because of their actions, because of the way they behave, because of the things that they do, because of this, they are being punished and cast out and they cannot be part of our community. We don't really know what leprosy looks like, but leprosy is not a pretty disease. Leprosy affects the nerves and causes you to not be able to feel. Okay? And so what happens is you get sores. Because you don't know when you're cut. You don't know when you're hurt. And you get infection when you don't have antibiotics. And it can cause strange things. And it looks and smells. And it's not pretty. And so it's as if the sin is just right there on the skin to see. And these are the 10 in the story. And they don't come close to Jesus. They stand afar. Did you hear that in the story? They stand back and they say, Sir, would you heal us? And Jesus says, go to the priest and show yourself. There's a clever little twist in the story. They go to the priest. The priests are the ones who can decide who is in and who is out. Who is clean and who is unclean. Who is in a state of sin and who is not. And they're made clean. They're brought back into the community. And I have to think there was rejoicing and praise and joy in that moment. And one comes back. This isn't a story about guilt, by the way. It isn't a story to make us all, because the easy thing is to say, well, none of us are really grateful for God, right? So then we have to show our gratitude by giving money to the church. Right, is that the sermon you want to hear? Okay. Me neither. Because I don't think that's what the story is about. I think what the story is about the transformative grace of God in this moment to restore sinners to full grace. And the thing we miss in the story is the one that returns is the foreigner, is the Samaritan. who is doubly cast out and doubly sinful in the society of the time. And he comes back to Jesus and says, "Thank you, Lord, for making me whole." And that's where we enter the story. We are the tenth. We are the doubly cast out, the doubly sinful, that when we hear this story, we can know God's incredible grace. Incredible grace. That we too can be made whole. Can be restored. Why does he come back? Or she, we don't know. It's a he or she. Why does this person come back to Jesus? What is driving them? Back to that first story I told you. When that person was made whole in that community that they were in, they came back to the person that helped them and then made a commitment to help others in their own life. There's something about being made whole, about being restored, whether it be in the eyes of the community or in our physical bodies or in our psychological selves or in whatever way, that when that happens, we might want to show gratitude. Marty Seligman, who's a psychologist out of the University of Pennsylvania, says that this is one of the most difficult things for us to do in our society is to show gratitude, and it's one of the most healing. Gratitude is to say, gratitude in its Latin roots is to show praise or to show happiness or to, it's not quite just saying thanks, it's more than that. And Marty Seligman says that we have a really hard time with this particular attribute in ourselves. We don't know how to say thank you. And let me just give you an example of how I know this. Have any of you ever gotten married or had a child get married or someone you know get married? Do you know the rules for thank you notes? Right? Because you may not know, so you need to look them up. Right? You shouldn't just say thanks for gifts, right? But you have rules. You know how long you have to say thank you? Anybody?
1 year.
Huh?
1 year.
1 year, right. Good, good. I knew that too. I had to discover that. You have a year, right? And what are you supposed to do with the thank you note? It's not to be an email or a text message. It's supposed to be what? Handwritten, hand addressed, to be proper. And you're supposed to what? Mention what? The gift and how you're going to use it. Right. You guys are so great. You're very proper. Proud of you. It's funny, though, that we have to be able to have magazines that tell us that over and over again, isn't it? And that's, to me, a little signal that we have a hard time showing thanks, giving gratitude. We often may not think to thank those around us that have gone out of their own way or have shared in their own sense of things to do something for others. And if we can't do that with each other, are we able to do it with God? Are we really able to give thanks back to God for the grace, for the gifts that God has given us? Remember, we enter the story as the tenth leper, as the foreigner, as the one who has double reasons to give thanks. God has blessed us. God has restored us. God has given us his Son that we might be made whole. And can we give thanks to God? Maybe we don't think about this, but I think part of coming to church on Sundays or Saturdays, coming and being present in this community, or whatever community you might choose, is to give thanks to God. It is to come and to worship and to say thank you to God for the life that you have, for the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food that you eat, the companions that you have, and that you are restored. And it's to remind us of that restoration week after week that we might be encouraged. You know, we pray in our post-communion prayers. We say this. We say, let us go out into the world rejoicing that we have been made whole and empowered to do ministry. But maybe it's easy to slip into being one of the nine, isn't it? And we kind of forget. We're still made whole, we're still restored, but it might be hard to give thanks. There's kind of a fun thing that's happened. It's called the 30 Days of Thanks. Anybody ever participated in that in November? It's kind of tied with Thanksgiving, that each day you give thanks for something in your life. And I think you should do that all the time. And I've preached on this before, that Marty Seligman talks about it, and it's an exercise that I've done. Whenever I find myself challenged or not feeling restored or down about whatever, I start making lists of things that I'm grateful for. And I offer that to God, whether it be in the morning or at night. It can be five or six things. And the challenge is to not name the same things every time. You know, it's not like when you're teaching a child to pray, and you know, you pray for the dog and for the cat and for the bird and for grandma and for Susie, and you say the same thing every night. The challenge is to be grateful for different things in your life. I'm grateful that today I was able to see so-and-so. I'm grateful that today I was able to get through the day without insulting anybody. I'm grateful that today I had everything I needed to live. I'm grateful that today I was able to rest. And the next day you start another list, and it can't be the same thing. And the idea is to get you focused on giving thanks for all the things around us, to pay attention and to tune in to the gifts that are right there. I think of that 10th leper as a Gentile, as a Samaritan, as the cast out, being made whole in the community. I think of that leper being alone and fearful, of being unable to participate with their family and with those that they loved, of being looked past day in and day out, and being made whole. And I think of my own sins, of my own failings. And I think of the failings of so many that I've known, and I think of others that have found that grace. And I think, look what God has done. So this week, give thanks. Show gratitude. For you are restored and made whole and made clean through Jesus Christ. And the world is there for you to participate in. You are made whole. So give thanks. Amen.